Unity is strength and to show success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. You're the sweetest honey from the honeybee. Unity.
Oh yeah.
Please don't desert me.
Oh yeah. Like a giant punch bowl coming through the wall and shouting, oh yeah. If you're a Family Guy fan, you'll understand what that means. Welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. And as most people shouldn't start a show with an apology, I thought for some reason that Dr. Baczynski, if anybody's ever heard of this guy, been curing cancer a wee bit down in Texas, which is nothing new, really. And as a result of curing cancer, his medical expertise was called into question, and it's been hauled out, dragged through court by the FCC copious quantities of times for no good reason. And again, this is nothing new. Just a symptom of a much, much wider problem. It's happening right there in Texas. You know, good old Lone Star State. Everybody's fully independent. They can do whatever the heck they want. And if you're rude, you'll get shot. Texas, yes. Guys, curing cancer. Brain cancer. Inoperable brain cancer. Shrinking the tumors down to nothing in like a couple of weeks, couple of months. Yeah. You know, CT scan confirms it every single time that they claim that they've done it. It actually has been confirmed. Totally scientifically verifiable. Medicinally recognizable formulas that he's tried to patent himself. And as a result of him trying to patent his formulas, somebody else tried to patent a similar drug without one of the key ingredients in the right format, as I understand it, which winds up being the key and crucial difference between being a worthless drug that you give to somebody for a placebo effect and something that will actually shrink a tumor out of existence. But of course, as soon as you go off the drug, that tumor returns. You know, you have to just keep on it and get it rid of it. Persistent. Kind of like the FCC. Sort of like a tumor on medical and scientific discovery of all descriptions. Remember, I was reading a book. Yes, shocking, I know. And one, this dude, he got this microscope. Now, most electrostatic microscopes can magnify something like, oh no, say 10,000 times max. This guy managed to polish a particular type of crystal out of some form of granite. He's able to get 60,000 plus or something ridiculous like that times magnification. And you would be interested to find out what happens when you point it at a living organism. Underneath that first layer of cells, there's another layer of cells. And each cell is in itself an independent organism. And underneath each cell, there's another group of independent organisms that have built that. And underneath those, there's another group of organisms that are actually running those two. Like, nothing is complete without everything else. And it didn't matter how deep you went, there was still life, abundant, microscopically, all the way down. It was unfreaking believable. Okay, same thing happened to him as is happening to Dr. Brzezinski today. Ransacked, stolen his research, or being defamed, or whatever. We don't have that technology, and there's certain reasons why not. And there's certain people who don't speak out about it for specific reasons. Of course, that's very vague and postulative. But, you know, for F's sake, get real, people. The world isn't all roses and sunshine and herbal remedies will solve all your ill wills. A lavender bath won't solve the problem of a SWAT team at your door. I'm sorry. I mean, if it was extremely magical lavender and it would somehow enchant the black uniform scum boot thugs into just, you know, letting you go, I'd understand that. But, you know, maybe I'm just blowing it out of proportion. There aren't jackbooted thugs coming around and arresting all of us. Not yet. Not yet, but there are plans to do it. And anybody who's been looking into the secret hidden hand, what we call the shadow government. I mean, we have the public face, like the National Party and the Republicans and whatever. They don't really mean anything. And today I'm going to be in an apologetic mood. You know, I'm sorry that all the mainstream parties don't actually mean anything. I'm sorry that I spent years and years supporting things like the Green Party, which I later turned out to be globalist, socialist, communists. It didn't occur to me at the time. I simply wasn't informed. And I apologize for not being informed. I hope in time that I may be forgiven for being such a fool. I'm willing to admit, extreme amounts of guilt. But perhaps those experiences have taught me something about politics. Or maybe I've just become irrational and opinionated. If so, I'm sorry about that too. You know, it seems that when you start telling the truth to people, or start trying to act in a honest, innovative, and basically conscientious manner, there are a lot of dirty and dastardly deeds that may come of it. I can assure you, just like down here in New Zealand, and have you ever heard about in New Zealand, like the 18 or some other ridiculous number of finance companies collapsed within a few years' time? And then the government comes out with this brilliant savings and loan scheme called the Guarantee, where we will bail out all the banks and guarantee all their bad debts and not ask for a single share. And so the banks started borrowing and loaning out like crazy, and sure enough, the population became in debt. Now 87% of New Zealand's wealth is owed to foreigners. 87% of our debt is owed to foreigners. Can you imagine, therefore, how much sway foreigners have on the laws and passing regulations? Why do you think your Prime Minister or President BS, Barry Satoru, get up on the stage and say the economy is in an incredibly bad state, ladies and gentlemen, and I need to pass draconian legislation to surveil the population, and I also need to borrow copious quantities of money from foreign banks so I can in turn give that money two foreign banks, and then cut spending in the public sectors, which educate and protect and otherwise manage the orderliness of our society, and also give that to foreign banks. And then, when we've run out of all of those, we're going to give you to the foreign banks. And we already have your receipts. You signed on the dotted line, birth certificate, receipt right here. We own you. You signed yourself over to us. You may not have been aware of it, but of that choice at any conscious state. And maybe your parents didn't know what they were doing when they were signing your life on the dotted line. It's no different inherently to being drafted into the military, because you still become the property of the state. This is what has become the political realm. And I'm really sorry. If you thought that it was anything but that. Because that's what the facts dictate. For example, media demonization. Don't you just love it when somebody comes and does something incredible, amazing, and for some reason they're heralded as a lunatic or a con man or some description of other name, like perhaps they would call them a conspiracy theorist. Perhaps they would call them dry and unwitty. Various other insults could pour forth here. And believe me, I've got quite some repertoire, because I have to insult my prey before I ingest it. It seems that things like finance companies going down are linked to the fact that our presidents and prime ministers are all bankers, incidentally, or mentored by them, or funded by them. Wait, follow the money. Who do you think sits in the tallest and most plush designed architectured buildings in the city? It is the major foreign banks. And in New Zealand, we have this thing called Kiwi Bank, supposedly owned by the people or whatever. And guess what? The government savings scheme through Kiwi Bank offered people. They offered them to put their money into finance companies. If your money and your employer's money. So not only do you lose your personal chunk of your income to a future financial collapse, which I can assure you is freaking coming, unless you've got hard assets, or if you've got stored food or something like that, you know, your money's going to be freaking worthless. I mean, we're talking about a global stage of Weimar Republic / depression, etc. You know, like, if the US sneezes, New Zealand catches Ebola virus or something to that degree, there's going to be an enormous amount of economic collapse. There already is. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And you know, I think the social engineers have played it pretty well to this point. They've decided to just slowly get everybody more in debt. You know, only $670 billion for the first bailout in the US. Only $1 trillion more. Only $9 trillion. Okay, we're actually going to have to take the whole country. Okay, see, this is how it works. It's the one step, two step, three step, four step. They're doing the frickin' mumbo in the houses, man. Honestly. In the house! Seriously. They couldn't be any more gangster than 50 Cent. There is some description of scumbaggery that is inherent in the system. Okay? Scumbaggery, I tells you. Ain't naught but scumbags to be occupying them premises. Well, you know, maybe I speak out of turn. Perhaps there are people that are honourable and genuinely honest and whatnot in Parliament. But then again, my suspicion is that through the induction ceremony and through the bureaucratic of it, because you have to follow procedure, and because procedure is defined by people that overrule the system, you will absolutely accomplish basically nothing. I mean, ultimately, in a house full of thieves, what can one warrior do? He's just going to get stabbed to death. You know, that's all that's going to happen. And we see it all the time. Anybody in the Houses of Parliament that does stand up and in defiance of draconian law, what a lot of people don't know about Hone Harawira, for example, is when he broke out of the New Zealand Parliament and formed his own party. Part of the reason why the Māori Party, which is supposed to be all uniting the one race and making sure that Māori interests are seen to, was in fact selling out to the National Party by supporting draconian climate change legislation. Hone Hariwere didn't like any of this because he actually stood for Māori values, apparently. This is what I get from my kaumātua, or elder, as you call him. And what I think is that ultimately you wind up getting demonized and set up. And if that doesn't work, they may wind up killing you in a very public fashion, as happened to JFK. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming.
It's the Wheel of Fortune.
Now will be later to win.
And we may be losing. Oh no, I don't think we're losing, actually. I think we've already won. And we're just going through the motions here. We're just doing it. I'm meeting so many people now, and it thrills me. I got an email back from the illustrious Bob Chapman the other day, and he'll be coming on the show soon. And I cannot express to you the joy that that gives me. Because just like probably a lot of the people that listen to talk radio that may be tuning in right now, I'm a big fan of a lot of the people that have been on talk radio all over the other place, you know? It's basically just, you know, I'm a fan that gets to interview idols and heroes and people that are just, you know, the most awesomest cats ever, pretty much. What can I say? You know, it's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it. You know, I suppose you do have to make a lot of sacrifices. But hey, don't worry. At least they're not blood sacrifices, like George Bush would be familiar with. I wanted to talk about Alan Hubbard. And now, just like with the medical setups and stuff like that with the FDA that I referred to with Dr. Brzezinski, Same thing happens with corporate contracts around the world as well. You'll notice that local city councils will be giving away no-bid contracts for big construction projects for the people, you know, on the taxpayer's dollar, that kind of thing. And then they'll turn those roads that they built with taxpayer dollars into toll roads for quite a few years in order to pay for it, to pay it back to the company that built it, not the people that paid for it. It's the people that pay for it twice, and the company collects on it twice. That's what a public-private partnership is. Both the public companies and the private companies come together to screw you over twice. That's what the extra pay is about, all right? But in either case, a headline from the New Zealand Herald: one firm gets ministry's millions. The Ministry of Economic Development is giving millions of dollars of software development and support work to a private consulting firm without calling for tenders. Not even chicken tenders from KFC, as it turns out. And the money flow seems likely to continue. The relationship between Neville Harris, the Deputy Secretary responsible for the Ministry's Business Services Branch, and Jaron Consulting has raised eyebrows among present and past Ministry staff. But Deputy Auditor General Terry McLaughlin said the situation was not uncommon. No hard and fast rules government when work needed to be put out to tender, Mr. McLaughlin said. And basically what they say is, well, because it's in a slight rush, we need to be corrupt in order to get things done properly. for your own good, of course, with your money, which we do without telling you. Has anybody actually, I don't know, you had your wallet out, right? And a flatmate or a kid or your child or something like that comes over and takes a whole bunch of money out of your wallet and then goes and gives it to somebody else. Just goes ahead and gives it to them for something that they want. And you're like, hey, what did you do with the money? I work for that. And you say, oh, I just give it to this guy over here. It's like, who is that guy? I don't know who he is. And it's like, well, you know, I'm going to do some software stuff or whatever. Software stuff? What are you talking about? That's my fucking money. Shouldn't you have consulted me first? And it's just like, no, but that's what I'm paying them to do. I'm paying them to consult for you. the runaround. Have you ever noticed that whenever you do anything? Oh, and I've got to tell you about this now. Alan Hubbard, sorry. I've been going off topic. But in either case, what's been happening to this dude? He owns, incidentally, a finance company in South Island, in Canterbury, called Canterbury Finance, incidentally. And there's a couple of finance companies that he owns, including trusts. And he's one of the wealthiest men in the country. You wouldn't know it if you drove past his house, though. It was in a little, you know, drives around a little crappy old man car, and they haven't moved house since 44 years ago. And the only new thing that they've really got in their house, flashy bits of glamour, is his dialysis machine. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a corrupt individual to me. Not at all. But here's what happens. An anonymous complaint gets filed, and this is how it always starts. There's somebody anonymous, probably working for some description of agency or council office or whatever. There could be a myriad of different people with an agenda here, most of them with a financial interest. And this anonymous complaint comes in saying that I didn't get a prospectus when I wanted one. And it was for a trust that didn't actually issue prospectus at all, and it wasn't supposed to. And on that alone, they investigated all the companies that he'd been involved in and seized control of them. okay? This is what the Serious Fraud Office or, you know, the Treasury Department, if you're in the US, or and there's similar other modus operandi scumbags in Australia and England, and basically anybody who's got a working legal system currently has a system full of criminals running your country. That's what I'd basically put it down to. A system of criminals that are running the country and they're trying to keep it orderly in the way that they want to keep it. Not orderly in some other, in some benevolent fashion, but making sure that you keep all the slaves in line kind of order, rather than the making sure that all the bad people get dealt to because they're naughty and we need to make sure that they don't harm the public kind of way. I mean, that's the public face, but the real, it's basically just keeping the slaves in line. Because with all the draconian legislation and fraud that the Serious Fraud Office in New Zealand actually pulls off, it's a wonder that more people don't get arrested for assault in this country. But unfortunately, the kind of people that they screw over are the kind of people who do things honestly, with integrity, and try to do the right thing. For example, Alan Hubbard also had a trust that he owned and with his own money, and he gave interest-free loans to young farmers so that they could get on their feet. You know? And I just see the kind of most humble person, and it almost made me cry, man. Like, seriously. But I can't say that I'm surprised, nor would I say that this is an isolated incident whatsoever. There are many, many people who do the right thing in business all over this world. Bunch of corrupt scumbags. See them, see what they've got, and they want to take it from them or destroy it. I talked to a guy who spent $40 million on a ship, and he turned it into the a replica of a Spanish galleon, and it was like, and it had a $250,000 chandelier in it, and copious quantities of Hollywood artifacts, and it was stripped apart and burned by the local New Zealand police. Okay? That's what really goes on. If you are an independent, good person who is making an immense success of yourself, if you get to a certain point and you don't have enough support on your side to protect you, you will be taken out, or your fortune will be gone, or whatever. And people don't realize this. This is what wakes a lot of people up for the first time, is when they first get shafted by the government. Fortunately, I can't travel around the world now because of my convictions. So, you know, it's pretty unfortunate there. But hey, at least I can. I kind of don't want to go to the Northern Hemisphere in the next, 10,000 years. But what happens to extinguish a lot of people's flame and make them give up on hope and stop fighting is that what happens is when people stop fighting against the system is because they've been crippled. And this is precisely what's happened to Alan Hubbard, precisely what's happened to Dr. Brzezinski, and precisely what's happened to hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of other business people or family or all sorts of other kinds. It's quite a tragedy to try and actually comprehend the scale of just how often it happens, because most of these people, because they're so humble, try to keep it to themselves. They don't try to make a big noise and a big fuss and attract public attention to them. Me, you know, I've thought of all these kinds of things, which is why all the people that I call, you know, my friends and associates and whatnot, are the top activists, protesters, and basically rafter shouters in the entire freaking country. And I've made dang sure to make their voices heard on this radio show and on my YouTube channel, and given them access as well to my website so that they can publish their works and get some of the coverage that they deserve. That's really what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. I'm just here to facilitate other people's voices. And hopefully in some stead, if something happens to me, I'll have an awful lot of support on my side. And maybe that's a deterrent. Maybe it's not enough. I don't really care. One day I could be set up, killed, gagged, whatever. I could be stabbed 14 times in the back, and it would be ruled a suicide in a New Zealand court. No, they've done crazier things, man. I'm not joking, by the way. This country is freaking corrupt. It's so unbelievable. The scale, demonstrably, of just how corrupt each and every institution is, let alone giving away millions in no-bid contracts to contractors. What about asking for millions in no representation court cases? That happens all the time. What about pinching business deals that are worth $30 million or $1 billion? In real estate bundle packages that somebody worked years to negotiate and work out and do all the paperwork for. This happened to Chris Wingate. You can go Google him. He's been a guest on the show. If you Google Chris Wingate, Vinny Eastwood, he'll tell you how his million-dollar deal, several tens of millions of dollar deal, basically, in this real estate issue down here in New Zealand, was stolen, literally just stolen by the bank that he was negotiating with. They saw the deal that he'd cracked. They loved it so much that they decided to jump the gun and go and make the deal themselves. You know, that's freaking corporate fraud and theft. And that's what major corporate banks do all the time. To the most prominent people, anybody who you see in the media who is of stature, who is having some kind of real tough time in their life and is getting, you know, sensationalized or hounded or whatever by the media for doing something naughty, a lot of the time there's a whole other story going on in the background. And you're only seeing one little sliver of a stained glass window. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. Unity means solidarity. United we stand, and divided we fall. Oh yeah, give them brain damage. Welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Oh yeah, it's gonna be good. I was supposed to have on Dr. Brzezinski, the guy who's cured brain tumors and stuff I talked about, but unfortunately we can't get a hold of him. Don't know why. But either case, I've got a little clip here for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to gorillamedia.co.nz, a little bit of feedback there. You'll be able to see urgent July 2011, America has 52 no fly zones. And this is in from Shepard of the Intel Hub. What I find very interesting about this is its timeliness. An awful lot of disasters going on all around the world at this particular point, don't you think? And here's just one more scary little detail about how disastrous everything, I don't know, perhaps could conceivably be. Maybe there's some description of spooky, spooky coincidences going on here, man. Just like on 9/11. Man, 9/11's got more red flags than red China. Can't believe it. People can see two gargantuan skyscrapers get dustified and blow away on the wind like leaves, steel and concrete. And all the paper was left perfect. You know, just blowing in the breeze with the dustified concrete and steel. It's unbelievable. And they go, oh yeah, it was the kerosene fuel fire that did that. What? The kerosene fuel fire and the and the fireproof asbestos floors that incidentally about a year earlier was supposed to be planned up, contracted out for asbestos removal. Turned out it was so expensive that they would have preferred to just do a controlled demolition of the Twin Towers and build a new one. Freedom Tower. 1,776 feet high. 1776, boy. Oh, yeah. American Day of Independence. And also reportedly the year that the Illuminati, the private coven of the black nobility of Europe, was formed. I presume that the two are not linked at all. Now, on the other side, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted you to give us a call at 402-237-2525. If you have a guest suggestion for us as well, send us an email. Go to the website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com or guerrillamedia.co.nz or even americanfreedomradio.com, really. You can get us through there. It's, of course, one of those things where you have to give people the platform to talk about what they want to talk about. You know, I had, what was his name, Payday Monsanto talk to me after the show. What was he talking about? Oh, yeah. He was on with Dr. Len Horowitz at the end of the other show, right? And unfortunately, we were coming to the end of it. And he kept interrupting Dr. Len Horowitz, and I just, you know, muted him on the conference thing so that Len Horowitz could finish speaking. We could wrap up the show. There wasn't any time. And Payday got pretty upset with me, but, you know, I explained the situation, and it's all good. But, you know, I've said to him, you know, you can come on the show and have a platform to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Even if it is criticizing other truthers and patriots, I say that if you've actually got evidence or something you want to put forth, that's cool. But if you're just postulating or whatever, and you've got nothing to really show for it, no hard fact, detail, research, or anything put into it, then you know it'll come out on the airwaves, and so it serves its purpose anyway. And I suppose, you know, that's what people really need to strive for in this day and age, is that if you're going to have an opinion, try and base it on something. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't I don't base my opinions on nothing. You know, I may postulate and make a lot of assumptions, but I didn't just dream all this stuff up. Okay? I didn't make it up. And if you think I did, all of this stuff, you'd have to think that I've been one of the most creative geniuses in this world has ever seen. You know, like I can create an entire alternate reality and conspiratorial view of history. Unbelievable. I had to think the other day about how much thinking you actually really have to do in any given day. You know, I had a conversation about this, the difference between thinkers and doers and whatever. And I think just like a man and a woman raising a child and giving it a balanced outlook on what parental figures are and all of that kind of stuff. So you must have two of everything, you know. The opposites have to balance each other out. You know, there's always going to be good. There's always going to be evil. There's going to be men and women and whatnot. I suppose, you know, my real take is, if you're going to really get angry with somebody about an idea, you had best be getting angry for the right reasons. For instance, I get angry with my Prime Minister because of the idea that he's selling out the country at several hundred million dollars a week, and we're only a country of 4 million people, and he's selling us out to foreign banks, and that's a provable fact that he's doing it every week. So, I have a reason, and a justifiable, backed-up reason, to be angry with him. Some people come up and get angry with me because I've seen one of my 100-plus frickin' videos or whatever, or half of one of my radio shows I've been doing for over a year, and come up and start telling me what I'm supporting by doing what I'm doing in the negative fashion, saying I'm supporting communism, I'm supporting this, that, and the other. Mate, you haven't listened to me for long enough. You know nothing about me. Okay? You don't have to just act on your first thought. Okay? Do a little bit more research. And if somebody tells you something bad about somebody that you know, don't just start treating that person badly. You go and ask them, is it true? That's what happens in this frickin' truth movement, man. Everybody's so obsessed with COINTELPRO and all of that kind of stuff that they forget their frickin' manners. And we're trying to have some kind of a peaceful society here. And if we're trying to all get along and whatnot and do our bit for humanity, why yell at each other? Why accuse each other of crap that isn't true? You know, and in a lot of cases, it turns out because that person's either deranged, and believe me, there's a hell of a lot of deranged people in the truth movement, I'll tell you what. Just like there's a hell of a lot of deranged people in frickin' everywhere. You know, the whole planet's gone nuts. You expect that any crazy person who talks about the truth movement or whatever like that has credibility? It doesn't matter. Okay, this is the same as everybody else. We're all on the same slave ship mindset, and some are more awake than others, you know? It doesn't matter. As long as you're awake to the point where you know that hurting people is wrong, stealing is wrong, lying is wrong, then you'll be sweet as. I mean, you know, that's what civil society is supposed to be about, right? And by hurting people, you can say whatever you want about people, as long as it's true. The problem with protesting in New Zealand and in a lot of countries these days is that you simply cannot get your voice heard. Because if you say the right things, and I've had this happen to me at protests, you know, just where I've had the megaphone just taken off me because I'm talking about what's actually going on
as opposed to some ideological reason for being at the protest, just saying, I'm sorry, we're all being completely shafted by all the parties that we're supporting. Anybody who votes for a mainstream false left-right paradigm party is basically going to betray you. And now these people who are like the protest leaders take the megaphone off me. It's just like, come on, you know, freedom of speech is universal, okay? You can't expect somebody to respect you, okay? But you have to expect that you would treat them very well indeed when you first meet them, and don't be rude or pushy or take advantage of them or whatever, or cut in. It doesn't matter, you know. Give somebody the space that they need to talk and feel how they feel. 402-237-2525 is the number to ring in if you want to get in on this show. 402-237-2525.
Disinformation to fact check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Welcome back, ladies and my very special limey bastard on the line here, Alan Carner. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Hello, Vinny.
Hey,
we're
going
to continue our earlier talk that we had. Your, what's his name? Brzezinski.
Do you know about? I don't know.
Oh my god! I can't say that. Huh?
You know about Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah.
And you know about
they weren't married, were they? Later on.
No. And you know about Burt Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Well, he kind of looks like Burt Reynolds, and his name rhymes with Lewinsky. His name's Brzezinski.
Oh yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Gregory Brzezinski, Doctor. Gregory Brzezinski, yeah.
That's it. I love that joke about Clinton when he's got a bad stomach and he's in the White House and he says to his aides, you know, oh, I've got a bad stomach. And what's the name?
Family Show.
Yeah.
And FCC regulations and...
You can sack my cook. Okay, she's there and she pulls him in the room and she says, what can I do for you, President? He says, you can sack my cook because he had a bad stomach. But never mind, That's another joke. You can sack my cook. Okay. Ha 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 ha. We're on radio. Yeah.
That was otherwise known as his oil spill, which incidentally took several miles of boom and the Navy to clean up.
Oh my God! Listen, let's face it, Vinny. There's too much bloody oil on this planet. We've got to get rid of all this friggin' plastic, oil, and you know, we need free energy. I mean, we know that it exists, but the powers that be, or the whatever you want to call them, the New World Order, Illuminazis, that they don't want us to know about the free energy. They don't want people living for 250 years with high IQ, let's face it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they don't want that.
I come under the understanding that the plan was thought out by people who were real bright, but
It's being orchestrated by real morons who would never figure out what the whole plan is.
Yeah. Well, they want everyone to have cancer. They want everyone to have, you know, chemtrails and aircraft and death dumps. And God knows, I mean, I don't know, I mean, fluoride. And, you know, estrogen in the water. And what about all the antidepressant shit that you get? Antidepressants that you get going into the water stream. Now, that's the latest piece of, I mean, that is, oh my goodness me. The water that we drink out of the taps is just, don't do it, guys. Filter it. If you can. Get a filter, get a Berkey or something, whatever it is, you know, get something to filter all that stuff out, because it's not good. Hello?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that you're right, actually. You do need to filter out all your water, because it is freaking dangerous. Like, honestly, imagine you're looking at, like, some description of stagnant pond or whatever.
Yeah.
That pond water is possibly as safe to drink as your frickin' local municipal water. There's actually a guy somewhere in the United States who has a frickin', you can light his frickin' tap water on fire.
His what?
You can light his tap water on fire. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Look, listen, folks. You don't need any more information than that. His whole kitchen caught a light when he turned on the coal tap. I mean, my God, you just can't get that. You can't get as bad as that, can you, Vinny? Let's face it.
That's not what happened. He turns
the whole house blew up when he just turned the tap on. It's so toxic. I mean,
no,
that wasn't
no,
even
no,
in
like
Japan.
Like, what he did is he turned it on, he lit it, and then it just basically kept going like a blowtorch.
Oh, my God. Really? That's what the Nazis had. They had that thing that, you know, I don't know, you know, well, everybody had them, those flamethrower things.
Yeah.
You know the flamethrower they had in the, you know, in Saving Private Ryan, you know, the movie? Flamethrower. Well, my God, that's the way it's going to go. When you put the washing machine on, it just turns into a big flamethrower and just burn all your clothes and burn the whole house down. I mean, my God, you ain't got a chance.
That would be like a petrol bomb.
We just don't have a chance anymore. I mean, my God, I mean, you got to get off the grid, man. I mean, you need a big windmill. You need a solar panels and all this stuff. The last thing you want is their New World Order Illuminati fucking race. You don't want their water. You don't want anything that they give you. Just don't accept it. Don't go along with the game. Sorry about that. Yeah. But the water really upsets me because they want a lot of money and it's a lot of. Basically, it's a lot of profiteering, you know, from what falls out of the sky. And this kind of really upsets people. It doesn't matter whether you're in New Zealand or Argentina or wherever you are in the world, you know, in England, you know. The stuff comes out of the sky, and it's totally poisonous what comes out of the tap water, you know. Fluoride and all this stuff, you know, what we were talking about. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And they want a fortune for it every month. You know, they got you over the barrel, and there's no contract either. You don't sign a contract with them. You know?
I suppose, you know, that's what really needs to be done is people need to refuse to contract. And it's like I mentioned in the first hour about how we wind up the assets of the state because we wind up getting born with a birth certificate. You know, that's
as right,
simple functioning as it happens.
Well, I don't know, Vinny, you know that I've been in touch with you, email-wise and all that, and trying to hook you up with all these people over here in the UK and Ireland. And there's a lot of this stuff going on over here. We call it lawful rebellion. We're looking into the maritime contract laws and how bent it is, the whole thing. Because it goes way back to the Roman Empire. It goes way back to all these control systems, as I call it, simply, and how they have... You know, really, they have swindled everyone into believing that their statutory law is real. And it's not, because, you know, it's a fictitious system. It's all fake. It's all made up. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's when you go into a court, you've got to sit in the dock. Yeah, the dock, okay? But they can't do nothing to you until you actually are in the dock, for example. And this is all maritime law, and we need to look at this stuff. We need to be educated about this, what this means, you know, in America and so forth. I mean, all over the world. It's fake. It's a fraud. Don't play the game. You know, the way to win the game is don't play the game. And let's make another game, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose one thing that really icks me, mate, is when you kind of stick your head up and you really do try to make some music or attempt to publish sort of media on a platform about this. Do you understand what really happens is that you sort of attract two of those wonderful things to you of love and joyful people, but you also attract those other real kind of annoying kind of twats, you know, who basically the kind of people you just sort of ignore.
I know what you mean. Attraction's a big word, I think, but what you're after is balance, but it comes out of intention and attraction. And also the other big word is allowance and what you allow. And I think that's the key to it. But out of this, the attraction and the intention, which is the same as praying, you get a balance, and that's what you're trying to achieve. But you've got to be careful where you attract. It's like the old saying, you know, be careful what you wish for, you know, it can happen. But, you know, what you're after is a balance, you know, and this planet is not balanced, is it? I mean, let's face it, folks. I mean, it's just... We all know that. We know that it's not balanced. Now, you can say it's not balanced between male and female, and you can, you know, use whatever parameters you like, but we can all agree that it's just not balanced. So how do you get to that balance? I mean, that's what I would say, you know, so, you know. But the law of attraction, the law of intention, the law of allowance, you know, and this all comes into play with it on a, you know,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. And also, yeah. I wanted to give a big shout-out to our Irish listeners as well that are listening to us live at TNS radio.
Yeah. Oh, are they? Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Hi, Vin. Yeah, great. You've got Vinny. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the same guy. You just put the Irish accent one day.
No. Vinny Vici. Vinny K. I got the saying. You know that
there's only one broadcaster. It's all the same guy. He's just brilliant at doing different accents.
Yes, there are many different accents of any.
That's right. Yeah, I know the Irish guys are great. So we're going to hook you up with Alan and Steve. OYM, Open Your Mind Radio. I've guested on there myself because. Vinny will tell you guys that I'm a songwriter, you know, from the UK. Got a band called Extras the UK and all that, and an album coming out called Providence, you know, and plug, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, you can either plug a bath or you can't, right?
Well, the Vinny Andrews show, we've got more plugs than Bed, Bath & Beyond.
I told you he was as crazy as a grapefruit.
Well, begs the question, just precisely how crazy is a grapefruit? And how does one measure it?
I know, that's a wonderful question. I've wondered that.
I've got to say something here. I can guarantee you, if you brought a grapefruit to a psychiatrist, it could diagnose it with depression or something.
Well, what do? You chop it in half? Or I don't know how you know, like when you do grapefruit in the morning, you know, some people put sugar on it. Some people put a cherry in the middle. You know,
I've never seen a grapefruit.
So what's I mean, is it crazy to cut it in half? Or I don't know.
They are experts on being crazy. After all, they're the ones who originally founded Bedlam and charged people admission to watch all these crazy people that they kept in chains, naked, cold on the floor, and dipped them into ice water, buried in coffins and stuff. You know, so they would know.
What, you mean chaos theory? You're not talking about chaos theory, man.
That's just what happens in the London psychiatric industry, you know.
Listen, I don't believe in all that Darwinian stuff, do you? I mean, I'm not really into all that elitist thing. You know, there's all these superhuman things and everyone else is a slave and we're all, you know. I just don't buy that, you know, I just personally. But if you cut a grapefruit in half and you put a cherry on one half of it, and the other one, you know, you just leave that on the side, and that this one you put cherry and you put a bit of sugar or honey or, you know, and you present it nicely, well, there you go, there's food for thought.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, breakfast.
You know what I'm talking about? You know, like when you have grapefruit in the morning.
And
yeah.
What's the time there for you? It's like just on midnight, you know? It's time for a bacon.
Yeah, it's gone. It's now quarter past. It's about 14. It says 14 minutes past midnight. Bing, 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 bing.
Well, that goes
nearly quarter past
morning.
Midnight, yeah. And I've got Anthony on the other line here. Anthony J. Hilder, do you want to speak? You guys have got to ring his thing, I suppose. He's waiting to speak to you. You've got to ring his number. I'm just going to hang on. Are you still on Skype, old boy?
Yeah, we're still on Skype, so you can...
Yeah, I'm going to give you his number. Wait a minute. 3...
And try not to read it out on air, you know.
Right, I've given you, hang on.
Just.
You know area code 310, which is Los Angeles? And then after that, it's a 7-digit number. I've just sent that to you. Got that?
Yeah.
Quarter past 12.
Oh, no.
And
no,
what is it there? Oh, it's quarter past 4 in Los Angeles. Look at this. We're international here, chaps. Talk about the globalist. I mean, forget the globalist. Come on. Globaloni. Yeah, give him a ring.
All right. Well, we'll see if our fabulous board op responds.
What do you want me to do? Stay on?
He's going for it, man. Yes, please. Give him a call, mate. Just talking to the fabulous board op.
Yeah, he's waiting to speak to you. He'd love to speak to you.
And, mate, seriously, he tries so freaking hard for this show. I just want to give him a little bit of acknowledgement. Because, my goodness, without him, the show would just be an absolute disgrace. But with me, it is a disgrace. Anyway, moving on. We're talking about your new album coming up. How many songs are you putting in this album? I'm really sick of those poofy artists who put like 7 songs on an album.
No, I tried that and I didn't sell any records, so I thought, well, I better do a better job the next time. I did that. You know, I thought, oh, I'm going to put something out and call it The Power of 9. And I put 9 tunes on there because I didn't write enough songs and I thought, oh, you lazy sod, don't try that again because it won't get anywhere. No, this time I've written a lot of songs because I got so fed up with the globaloni New World Order Illuminazis and just started to write a lot of songs, got very inspired by it. And I got really angry, you know what I mean, Vinny? And yeah. I'm not talking about I'm talking about Vinny as in New Zealand, Vinny, and not Vin in Ireland, Vinny.
Vinny.
I don't know if he's the
not
same guy or not.
Of my Vinny Vin Vin.
No, I'm certain you're not. No, I did. I really got angry. I mean, it was Alex Jones I heard on the radio and, you know, I watched his film called Terrorstorm. And when I watched that film, it was like a shock, you know. Do you know what I mean? When you wake up to the New World Order and Force Mike Terror and all that, you literally go into a state of shock. You want to get on top of a mountain. You want to yell to everybody. And tell everybody, Mayday, Mayday, we are in trouble. You know, we really, you know, you've woken up and you've got to wait, you know, and that's it. You know, I mean, that's it. So if you're like me, if you're an artist type of guy, it's very difficult because, I mean, I think
You're listening to the Vinny H. Wood Show. We're back.
Yeah.
Live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, keeping it bangster on the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of madness and chaos, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest, who's just joining us now, Anthony J. Hilder, is joining us from
Los Angeles. Anthony, welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be here, Vinny. I've been hearing a lot about the Great Eastwood, and we have one fellow off the coast named Clint, and I thought, well, maybe you're the brother or the son. No, you're too young to be the brother. You must be...
Clint Eastman. No, that's Clint Eastman, Anthony.
Oh, Eastman.
No, it's Clint Eastman. No, this is Vinny Eastwood, and the guy lives up Monterey on 17-mile drive up on, you know, Carmel and all that.
Carmel, right.
Yeah, his name is Clint Eastman. This is
We get so confused.
Yeah, I know, but this is the famous Vinny Eastwood, so forget about the other guy.
I may not be related to Clint Eastwood, but I am Lucy Lawless's first cousin.
Well, you are doing something that Eastwood has never done. In fact, I thought at one time he was going to come in and back a friend of mine, Bo Greitz, from, the movie was made, Rambo, about Bo. I thought that he would come back and underwrite, like so many people in the so-called conservative movement promised to do, the attempt to return some of the MIAs. But let's talk about the New World Order.
Yes.
Actually,
let's talk about Anthony J. Hilder. Just for those of the audience
the old
who
world
may
disorder.
Not be familiar with
it. Yeah.
I didn't get that. Alan was talking.
Just tell us a little bit about yourself, Anthony, for the listeners who may not be familiar with you. A little bit of your background.
Well,
and by the way, this is also a plug-o-rama. We've got more plugs than Bed Bath & Tile and Beyond in this show. So plug your websites by all means.
Well, we have events going on. There's one coming up here on the 16th and 17th of this month outside the Bohemian Grove. The Bohemian Grove is Bilderberg West. The billionaire banksters and government gangsters arrive there to worship in front of the Owl of Moloch. It is there that they have a simulated sacrifice of children in the thing called the ceremony of cremation of care. There has been reports in books that would indicate that they've actually had human sacrifices and sacrifices of children before the Owl of Moloch. It's been traditional for years. In fact, in one of D.W. Griffin's films, I think it's Intolerance, they discuss the sacrifice. But we're up to protest the sacrifice. That's in the 16th and 17th. That's out in a place called Monte Rio, and it's near Santa Rosa, north of San Francisco along the Russian River. So that's an event. Insofar as I'm concerned, I produced the original expose of the Illuminati in 1967 with Myron Fagan. Not really my doing. It's Myron had all of the work and had done all of the research. I was just the mentor, new kid on the block. And from that revelation in three long playing records came a multitude of discoveries along this particular line of thought, and there's now in excess of a billion people on the planet that have heard the word Illuminati, but they don't know from whence it came.
And from whence did it come?
You might say the devil. It is a Luciferian evilarchy. When I say Luciferian, they worship the Lord Lucifer. Just like you take a look at Saul Alinsky, who is the mentor to the President of the United States, and his book, Rules for Revolution. In the beginning, he says that the book is dedicated to the Lord Lucifer. When you take a look at the go to Baphomet and the Baphomets, those people who worship this.
Wait, did you say the word Goda?
No, the goat of Baphomet, the goat of Mendez, the goat of Baphomet. It is the satanic symbol that is worshipped by many of the people in Hollywood. Lady Gaga wears the big ring in the, from the goat of Baphomet. Beyonce and Jay-Z or whatever her husband is. There's several people, and you see them openly. You go to the web. It's not my imagination. They are worshipping it. It's like the Masonic religion is worshipping Lucifer. In the book, which is the Masonic Bible, written by the General Albert Pike, he said, yes, Lucifer is God, and those initiates in the higher order of the Masonic religion should worship, be following the Luciferian doctrine. So, well, you know, insofar as the Illuminati is concerned, the Illuminati does have a religious origin, and it comes from Lucifer.
Well, indeed, there's an awful lot of groups out there that all kind of come from Lucifer, like these are the Temple of Set and the Church of Satan and all these other things, and which a lot of them incidentally have connections with CIA mind control programs, but the other side of it is, where do you think you wind up getting all your presidents and all the pick of the crop from? Ah, there you go. All of these nice, lovely Luciferian organizations. Isn't that grand? We've got Skull and Bones, where you masturbate in a coffin while revealing your deepest sexual dirty secrets to the people around you.
Well, you're born again into you're born again into not only the New World Order, but you're born again into the Satanic Order. And it's literally just that. George Bush's father, the former president, George Herbert Walker Bush, was in the Skull and Bones. He, too, like his son, laid nude in the coffin, masturbated, and was born again into the order. His name is called Magog. That's called the man who worships or who does battle against God in the final days of Earth. That's not, it's, you know, you can't make this stuff up. it's for real. And a friend of mine who wrote the book on the order about the Skull and Bones, Dr. Anthony Sutton, has revealed all of the information necessary for an individual to put the pieces together. And one really does have to put the pieces together because they go into a giant geopsychopolitical puzzle. And once made, you can see the big picture. Once you get the big picture, once you listen to the Vennies of
countless,
the world, I mean,
countless
then,
hours of talk radio and documentaries also gives you a pretty good awareness in some certain circles. A lot of good websites out there. And do you have a website?
I'm
going to
pull this thing up so it'll stop. Whoever I'm on
Here
the who's
it's
listening to the show,
good.
I'm
don't,
on the air right now, so
it.
Maybe they can
don't
call
worry.
Me back. But I'm doing the show on American Freedom Radio. Wow, and that is a pleasure to be here, Vinny.
Hey, well, you know, don't worry about that. You know, we've pulled off worse complications myself. There's a lot of things that happen in live talk radio that most people just are plain not prepared for, but. Anyway, considering we're all patriots and truthers and we don't have copious quantities of bureaucracy to mount an offensive or hop to the next issue or something, we can just think on our feet and move right along. What was your website there, Anthony?
Well, we've got several. We've got in England, and I'm working through Our England, UK, Our England, UK. It's ourenglanduk.com, and then we have another one there, which is called Common Crime, commoncrime.net. In the United States, we have freeworldalliance.com, and the one that's really hot right now is our piece with aircrap.org. If you go to any of those, and it's crap, C-R-A-P. I don't want to, you to think it's aircraft, aircraft.org. So between these sites, we're promoting a free world, which is independent and sovereign. It calls for the recognition of the tribal, linguistic, racial, political, and linguistic states. We'd like to see in England, Cornwall and Wales and Scotland become independent, even the Shetland Islands. Because we're looking for smaller, not larger government. We're hunting for more freedom, not less. And we're taking a look at EU as Hitler's dream come true, which it is. We've got four films on that. So if you went to Free World Film Works, Free World Film Works, you could get that. And Alan Karna has done such a marvelous job over there with Paul promoting all of the events on the, in the UK, and we'll probably have in the vicinity of 30 by the time the snow starts to fall.
Is that what you're aiming for, Alan?
Yeah, well, the idea, I mean, let me briefly, it's very simple this. I mean, I met Anthony through Dr. Deagle, you know, Dr. Bill Deagle, who I think you've been on with together, right, Vinny?
Yeah.
Anthony knows Dr. Bill really well, don't you, Anthony?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was doing a show once a week, and then I got tied up with all of these other things, and but we are doing shows or events that will be promoted by multiple websites. And, of course, the one exposing the connection between the Bilderbergers and the Bohemian Grove is extremely important. That's coming up the 16th and 17th of the month. But like I say,
well,
Alan
Bill's
is
been on your aircraft stuff too, right?
Entertainment here. He's going to bring in some music to the event, some smiles, not just frowns and moans.
Yeah, that's right.
Alan?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was going to say we're kind of frowning and moaning because the ultimate thing that really occurs to me is people don't understand is that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing everyone he didn't exist. And his followers just basically follow him, and it's open and in plain sight, except people don't know what talisman they wear, you know? A Lucifer worshipper doesn't wear an upside-down cross around their neck if they're like a main media figure or something like that. They'll wear other things elsewhere, or they'll get tattoos that mean satanic things that people just won't recognize. They'll wear peace symbols, which are an upside-down satanic cross. That kind of thing.
Vinny, you know, let me say this, Vinny. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I think that I certainly know that Anthony, being over in America there, knows a lot more about this stuff because in America, you've got a lot, you know, over here in the UK, we just don't, I suppose, we're just so propagandized and all the rest of it, you know, and so controlled with cameras everywhere and surveillance and you name it. I mean, you know, nobody even thinks about this kind of stuff. I mean, you get the Hollywood films and all the rest of it, yeah. But no one even considers it. And so, you know, in many ways, you know, I guess I don't either. It just doesn't come. But I know there are paedophiles here at the highest places. I mean, I know that through my friend Brian Gerrish, who Anthony has worked with as well. You know, made the films are all out there on the YouTube, you know, on and all Anthony's website. And by the way, Anthony's got more websites than anyone in the whole planet. He's got so many websites, he doesn't even know how many he's got. But
what
anyway,
a
we,
phrase,
you know,
oh, what a tangled web we weave. You'll be familiar with that, Anthony. But go ahead, mate.
Well, yeah, the spiders don't. Well, up at the Bohemian Grove, they've got the owl of Moloch. This is. Yeah. The place where they literally have sacrificed children. They sacrifice care. They don't give a damn about the health of the population. They want us sick, not healthy. They want us dead, not alive.
I don't know. I've never seen it with my own eyes. I mean, I have to be a bit empirical about this. I'm sure that kind of thing takes place. And, you know, the highest levels on the top of the pyramid, there may be some people who are into this sort of, you know, ritual sacrifices and blood sacrifice and all this kind of stuff, you know, with all the stuff that David Icke talks about and everybody. I mean, you know, but I don't even want to think about that kind of stuff, Vinny. I'm a musician, you know, I like to play the guitar and sing and all that, you know what I mean? I don't even want to think about it a lot,
you know. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this right now, by all means, sacrifice yourself for the Vinny Eastwood show. It'll be awesome. You'll get 20 blocks of Vermont cheddar cheese and a death time supply of Coca-Cola. It'll be just nice and tasty for your gums. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood show, and my very special guests are Anthony J. Hilder and Alan Karner. And we'll be right back after the break.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and also infinityfm.co.nz down in Invercargill, in New Zealand, TNS Radio in Ireland, and also These Changing Times Radio Network coming soon in the UK. So we're going global, ladies and gentlemen. The world is an English-speaking conquered world. Thank you, Rule Britannia. So if you're an English-speaking person, you can appeal across the globe. And, of course, my very special guests, Anthony J. Hilder, and Alan Karner, also speak English, so it's quite convenient. Welcome, guys.
Hi there. Hello there.
Yes, we're going to be, by the way, going on an international television broadcast. It's on My TV Now. My TV Now. And you'll be able to catch a little bit of The Conspiracy, which is the international show, and we'll be able to do interviews simultaneously with as many as 20 different people with their pictures on the screen in various locations throughout the world. And it's a new technology, and it's going to be like talk radio but expanded. And when I hear your revelation about an expansion of this information throughout the UK, yeah, I'm really, you know, jazzed up about that. Tell me more about it, if you will.
Well, I got involved with a couple of people. In fact, they contacted me. It was Patrick Lynch and Paddy Walking Turkle. They've been doing a couple of shows on this little radio feed, which they've now decided to turn into a full-time 24-hour internet radio network. And first thing I said to them was, oh, you guys have just landed yourself with a heap of responsibility, haven't you? As anybody who's run a radio network will know, it's just not funny, eh? And I apologize to anybody who's ever...
Well, why are you laughing then?
Well, can I just say... I'm excited about it, and on our television show and the various sites that we have, we want to plug it. We've got an event calendar, and if you go to... OurEnglandUK.com. We'll see it posted on the event calendar, provided, Vinny, that you contact our webmaster, or you go to our webmaster with aircrab.org or Free World Alliance. Once we start connecting all of these dots and putting all of the pieces of this gigantic geopolitical picture together, the people start to get it. And that's really our problem, It's not that we're all stupid. It's that most of us don't get the big picture. And as a consequence, you'd have to say that what H.L. Mencken once said, one can never underestimate the intelligence of the American people.
Well,
and it really isn't just the intelligence. It's the lack of valid information. And we're kept from that by the evilarchy and Hollywood. I made the statement, and I'll repeat it. Hollywood is a whore. I mean, Hollywood is the cancer upon the hemorrhoid of the ass of the whore of America. That's
well,
what it is.
Yep, and it's absolutely tasty as that, and that's why they want everybody to pay nothing but attention to it so that it manifests that kind of crap in your own subconscious psyche so that they can suck energy out of you. That's what they believe. They're psychotic. They're absolutely out of their freaking mind, cultist-like people who do rituals on stage, performing in front of people, trying to manifest the energy for the dark gods. And you know, I'm not joking here, ladies and gentlemen, all right? There's a pyramid on the back of a US dollar bills for a reason. And there's a big glowing eye that is not attached to that pyramid.
That's the eye of Lucifer.
That's the eye of freaking Lucifer.
When I first came up with this on the Joe Pyne show, and this had to be 30, maybe 35 years ago, I brought it out on national TV, on Metro Media. And I said, take a look. Take it. Go into your pocket. Pick out a dollar bill. Now, that pyramid over on the left-hand side, this is the Luciferian pyramid. At the top is the eye of Lucifer. In the bottom it says 1776, but that's not our independence from Great Britain. It is the birth of the order and sect of the Illuminati on May 1st, 1776. When you go to the Louvre Museum and go into research that document, which is held there, there's a 666-pane pyramid on the outside. Yes, and it is associated with the pyramid on the estate of Lord Rothschild in England. I was out there. I went out next to the pyramid. We took pictures. The same architect is the same, very same guy that did the one outside the Louvre. All of these little bits and pieces, and people say, well, that's not really important. No, it is important. It is important when you fold a $20 bill and you see at the bottom of the fold, we're talking about the expose of the 9-1-1 event, when the bill is folded and it appears to be the North and South Tower. On the left-hand side, you'll see a ST, which is the abbreviation for Saint. And then there's an IN on the other side, and it's Saint N. And you say, well, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. The banksters, the billionaire banksters who control our currency and thus control our governments, have this by design. They're spitting in our face. Spitting in our face, and some people don't get it.
Can I put a postulation past you there?
911, the greatest lie ever sold, and you'll see it.
I just wanted to say that that people who kind of wake up to the truth and wind up saying that 9/11 is an inside job, or that the pharmaceutical industry is like toxic or whatever, you know, there's a whole myriad of basically each and every one of these different topics is part of that different pyramid of knowledge. It's each a stone in itself, and it's building up. And usually the last thing that people who wake up about the whole system and the New World Order learn about is about the all-seeing eye of Lucifer and about Satan and about the deep underground satanic influence of the elite. You know, it's usually the last thing that they wind up finding the truth about.
Well, people don't go and work on technology, Tesla technology, to develop the HARP technology, which is what triggered the earthquake off of Japan. You say, oh, well, that's crazy. How could you possibly say that they could, with the HARP technology, trigger the tectonic plates, by simply putting the 2.5 hertz.
No, I don't think they used
signal
half, Anthony.
Below
think,
the
I don't
the water
think they used half of that.
To create the quake, which created the tsunami.
They well, created yeah, the tsunami, but they didn't use half.
On the day
That's
of that
opinion.
Quake... on the day of that quake, Benjamin Fulford called me from Tokyo, and I was quite aghast, you know. I was like, what the hell's Ben Fulford calling me for? And I was quite an amateur at radio at this point. And he came on, and he said that he'd had a conversation with a Japanese official the night before who told him that the Japanese had been threatened with an earthquake weapon what was going to be used the next day to cause a big tsunami. And he apparently recorded the conversation. And there's also a lot of YouTube videos about big, really strange light displays in the sky around that area. And indeed, a giant ball of light, fiery light, on the side of Mount Fuji on the same day.
My
really
friend, I could use this information in aircraft.org.
Oh, yeah. Well, you need to go
I'm
to gorillamedia.co.nz and search Fukushima. We've got the best articles in the world there, mate.
We need that because I didn't get that piece. And this is that's the discovery. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, I was unaware of it, of that. Now, by our conversation, which lets all of you out there in radio land become aware of it, we can expand this story a thousand.
And here's the expansion to the story. Because of the Fukushima incident, which is three meltdowns, Chernobyl never even melted down, by the way, this is now the worst incident in human history ever, conceivably. And it's going to cause a lot of contamination, and now we're going to start to see the first trimester people contaminated. About, what are we, 3 months on now from the quake? The first trimester babies that are deformed in the Northern Hemisphere are going to start to be born now.
They're making monsters out of children, and they do this with...
No, but that's not the idea, though. They've now come out, come public with new technology that allows you to detect whether or not your fetuses are deformed. So now this is the perfect excuse to control birth all around the world. Oh, your child might be deformed, or it might have this, or it might have that. We're just going to not allow you to have that child. Okay.
The same thing with the BP thing, Vinny. The BP Gulf disaster, that's another false flag event, just like the Fukushima. And that is something that we all forgot about, right? But that is I heard Ian Crane recently come on the radio explaining, and he's an ex-oil guy, that the whole BP false flag event, the false flag stand down, whatever you want to call it, it was deliberate, it was engineered. That is a total disaster.
And we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you again sometime.